May I speak in the name of God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Amen. Many years ago, I was leading the early Sunday service at the Armidale Cathedral as a layperson, and I mentioned at the start of the service that today was the Feast of St. James, Apostle and Martyr, and I commented that this was an appropriate day on which to begin our new sermon series on the letter of James in the New Testament. Well, the dean at the time had to point out gently in his sermon that there were several Jameses in the New Testament, and the apostle and martyr could not have been the author of the New Testament letter. He died too early for him to be the author. James, the son of Zebedee and the brother of John, the James whose feast is celebrated on the 25th of July, was very important in sowing the seed of the gospel. He was one of the first four disciples recruited by Jesus of Nazareth. The family of James and John may have been reasonably well off. The Zebedee, James, John, Simon, Andrew partnership owned at least two boats. When the mother of James and John asked that they sit on the right and the left hand of Jesus in his kingdom, the narrative of the rich young man is just there in the background in Matthew's gospel. And the message there, of course, is how hard it is for the wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. James and John and Zebedee and their mother might have fitted into a group that were not too badly off, not poverty stricken. Now, when the mother of James and John asked the question about special positions for her two sons, the gospel of Jesus does not seem to be at the forefront. We think of the seed of the gospel as the theme for today, and that seems to have gone perhaps out of their mind, the mother and the two sons, James and John. The passage from St. Matthew's gospel does not name James and John. James is, of course, named in the gospel in the narrative of his and his brother's recruitment to Jesus' team. Jesus, we read, saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, mending their nets in the boat with Zebedee, their father. The mother made the request, and Jesus asked, "Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" It is not their mother, but James and John, who answer, "We are able." Jesus went on to say that they will indeed drink his cup. And Acts chapter 12 describes how one of the brothers, James, did indeed die, as Jesus died, at the hands of the Jews. He did indeed drink the cup that Jesus had drunk before him. We learn from the experience of James, the son of Zebedee and brother of John, that our life will be determined by God. But James was willing to serve at the good news of Jesus Christ. He was willing to serve the gospel. The context of James's martyrdom is found in Acts chapter 11, which is not one of the readings for this morning. Acts reports a severe famine that affected, Acts says, the whole inhabited world, which is probably a way of saying the whole Roman Empire. This famine had been predicted in Antioch, the third largest city of the Roman Empire, by a prophet who came up to Antioch from Jerusalem. And when the famine took place, the Christians in Antioch resolved that they would send whatever each contributed to the elders of the church in Jerusalem. This would be as a service. The Christians of Antioch wanted to serve others. They took the practical step of collecting funds for the Jerusalem Christians affected by famine. And that, to some extent, that's what we're trying to do here under Ben's leadership, isn't it? To contribute to the community that's suffered this awful storm and other community events like Christmas carols in July and Prosper Picton and so on. And Ben's leading us in being involved in these activities. It is possible that the two leaders of the team carrying the relief, who were Barnabas and Saul, were still in Jerusalem when Herod Agrippa I described in Acts as king, King Herod, arrested James and put him to death by the sword. When Herod saw that the murder of James pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. His intention was to keep Peter in prison until after the Passover. James was probably killed no later than AD 44. Peter was to be paraded and presumably executed in the spring, at roughly the time of our Easter. But of course, Peter escaped from the prison. We learn about James as martyr from the Acts of the Apostles, whereas the passage Jack read concerns James as apostle. Jesus' instruction to his disciples following their anger with the request made on behalf of James and John is expressed in beautiful Semitic parallelism. Whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant, your diakonos, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave. This is the word for slave. It was to be a diakonos, a servant, that Jesus came, and he gave his life as a ransom for many. We read in that last verse that Jack read to us, the passage. We too can make ourselves servants and slaves of others. Now, why do our prayer books and the lectionaries suggest, that we read part of St. Paul's second preserved letter to the Corinthians on the first day of on the feast day of St. James? In that passage from 2 Corinthians that Jenny read to us, Paul is thinking of his own case. There is no mention of James here, but the theme of today's reading from 2 Corinthians is the suffering and the glory of apostolic ministry. Much of what Paul says about his own case, his own experience, would apply also to James, the brother of John. What was Paul's experience of apostolic ministry? In verse 5, we are hard-pressed at every turn, but not cornered, bewildered, but not totally desperate. And then in verse 9, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. The murder or judicial killing of James by Herod Agrippa sometime around 44 of the Common Era would fit Paul's claim. We are persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. Paul goes on to comment on the death and life of Jesus. We always carry around in our body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be displayed in our body. Then Paul speaks of another way in which the life of Jesus also may be displayed in our mortal flesh. Christ had suffered. Christ had been put to death more than 10 years earlier. But when Herod put James to death, and when he saw that that murder pleased the Jews, and when he arrested Peter with the intention of killing him in the spring, Christians who have the death of Jesus in their mortal flesh, in their body, may be the vehicle through which the life of Jesus would also be displayed in their bodies. And the life of Jesus is also to be spoken about by us. If we have the same spirit of faith as Paul and the Corinthian Christians had, the Old Testament text that he quotes at this point, "I believed and therefore I spoke," will apply to us. We also believe, Paul says, and therefore we also speak about Jesus, speak the good news of Christ. Paul writes elsewhere, for example, in Romans chapter 6, of our being buried with Christ in baptism, and thus also raised with him. In today's passage, Paul affirms that God, who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead, will raise us with Jesus in our turn. God will bring Paul and his co-workers into God's presence, along with the Corinthian Christians. So Christians are to benefit from the seed of the gospel that James sowed. When grace has widened its scope through more and more people, revealing Jesus by their lives, by living their Christian faith, when more and more people become Christians, that grace may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. And that's how the passage that Jenny read ended. Let us pray. Merciful God, whose apostle James left his father and all that he had, and without delay obeyed the call of your Son Jesus Christ and followed him, grant that no worldly affections may draw us away from steadfast devotion to your service, but that we may be always ready to do what you command. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.